for the rest of your life versus you're sleeping with all of these other people. That's actually not
but it's still degeneracy on both sides. If they're getting married absent a sacrament, right, they're still degenerates. And if they're promiscuous, they're still degenerates.
So these two were talking about consequentialism earlier. Essentially, it's a moral, ethical system, way of looking at the world that judges, policies, decisions, what's right, what's wrong, based upon a worldview of like the outcome, the good and the bad of the outcome. We can get more granular. I'm probably going to do a standalone video analyzing consequentialism in full. I don't want to get into it here. This video is already going to be long enough, but I will do that later on. Basically, Andrew is against consequentialism. Yeah, even though he talks quite a bit about consequences and the outcomes, the good outcomes, the positive outcomes, the productive outcomes of a Christian worldview. So he actually is a consequentialist, even as he pretends not to be one. He's just consequentialist when it comes to his worldview. But anyway, let's continue.
You're both advocating for degeneracy. You're both just doing it in different ways. And that's why guys like me exist, to push back on these ideologies, because it's nuts. It's actually crazy.
Well, I
would like him to define what he views as degeneracy, although I think I have a pretty good idea of his views on this based upon most of the content of his I've seen. And honestly, I would probably agree with him on 95% of what he agrees is degenerate behavior. I think we just have very different prescriptions. Like, I have actual prescriptions and views and as to how you would combat these things. Well, he just, you know, says my patriarchy, and he's very broad and macroscopic, general in his so-called prescriptions, but he doesn't get a very specific or micro in his prescriptions, as he calls them. Anyway.
Again, I will say you're right about the civil marriage thing, and I will thank you for elucidating that for me. That's totally fine, but I think even if we
she uses the word elucidate to try and not sound like the moron she is.
Look at purely from a secular standpoint, with the acknowledgement that a civil marriage is not a sacramental marriage, and therefore is sinful. If we look at the outcomes of things like...
Why? Now, why is it sinful? I see this. So what? Isn't it the commitment between the two people that's important? I mean, the problem I have with marriage mainly is that it's the state getting involved, and that gives them too much power in people's private lives. But I have no problem with people making vows and coming together. It doesn't have to be religious in nature, but these two are saying this is sinful. If you're not getting married under Christianity, then it's a sin, meaning it's bad. Yeah, I don't agree.
Like promiscuity involving multiple partners, then we have children being born out of wedlock.
You still have them being born out.
Well, isn't an advanced understanding of morality all that's really needed? And that morality is based on objective well-being, and it's not some proclamation from some authority figure. Big sky daddy, beard, long white bearded dude in the clouds, telling you this is right, this is wrong. It's just one big giant argument from authority. I got the biggest, baddest authority figure supporting my claim, so I'm right.
Out of wedlock. Your prescription also would have children being born out of wedlock.
Yeah, but to multiple baby mamas and things like that, which is objectively worse.
Okay, so now you're consequentialist again. Now you're consequentialist again.
And if we look at the outcomes like
it's wrong because he's wrong. Well, let's not look at the consequences at all. This is the problem I have. And again, I'm not a big fan of consequentialism, but I don't totally completely discount it, is that Andrew is an absolutist. He's just, it's my Christian worldview and that's it. No, that's it. That's all there is. No. God's right. You're wrong. That's it. It's dogmatic. So religion predates philosophy, but it's inferior. Andrew is not a philosopher. He tries to present himself as one, but he's a religious zealot, actually. And by definition, that's what he is. But he's not a philosopher.
Poverty, I think, like abuse, there is a difference between a secular married couple.
He is good with logic and reason, but that makes him a logician. The pronunciation, yeah. Sounds like magician, logician, yeah. you know, he's good with logic. That's it. But that doesn't make him a philosopher, okay? He's too much of a zealot and too dogmatic, which means he's too set in his worldviews. His mind is not flexible enough to be a philosopher. It's just that simple.
Versus just sleeping with a bunch of women.
There's a difference. Okay, okay. So just to get this right, I get it. You're advocating for degeneracy light. Got it. Like, does that, I don't know how that makes it better, that you advocate for degeneracy light
instead of tons of degeneracy. I'm not advocating for that marriage in the first place, but I can still recognize that the outcomes are different and one is measurably worse than the other.
Yeah, but the outcomes, you're not a consequentialist. Christians don't follow.
I love how he tells her what she is and is not. So if you're a Christian, you can't really use consequentialism at all. See the problem? Do you see the problem? Do you see the absolutism? Do you see the way that dogma locks you in a particular worldview and it boxes you in? It doesn't allow you the flexibility to ever use any other kind of prism through which to view the world. It's just a Christian worldview. It's very self-limiting. Very self-limiting.
Consequentialism. While it's true we can look at outcomes, you're supposed to be following virtues and the teachings of Jesus Christ, not
virtues. I've talked about virtues in the past, but again, there's some amount of relativity in regards to what makes someone a virtuous person. Now, you can drill down and get to the objective foundations of what particular virtues are, but it's very, very easy, all too easy for people to view them through a relativistic lens.
Of what the consequences of your higher duties are. Higher if you duties. Were a consequentialist and a Christian, that would be absent.
Could you outline those? A lot of his language is far too vague in general. I wish he would outline what he considers duties. What duties do you think I have? What obligations do you think that I have to other people I don't even know, total strangers? And of course he'll reference some, you know, vague collective society, I'll call it, even though society doesn't exist. All there is the individual. But he'll always make these references. It almost sounds like a communist in some ways. You owe all the people, even though you haven't actually entered into any kind of obligatory contract or giving of your word or something, but you have a duty and obligation to other people. Oh, I see. It's interesting.
The Christian ethic and the Christian ethos, period. And it doesn't even follow with the logos. None of this follows, Lauren. None of it follows.
But you're saying that these red pill men are secular, therefore we have to speak to them in terms of a secular language, what the pros and the cons are. There is still a
indoctrinate them.
Secular argument to be made for why you should not be sleeping with a bunch of women like one night stands and pickup artist style.
There's sure.
I agree. You shouldn't be sleeping with bunches of women. But a lot of you guys will. Well, some of you guys will. Most men don't have that option, right? Most men are not good looking enough, not wealthy enough. And by the time you actually are wealthy enough, you know, how many men have that kind of wealth? We all know that 80% of women are chasing. It ain't top 20. It's more like top 10, top 5. So the rest of us guys, what are we supposed to do? Do what Andrew did and marry a hoe?
Allegedly!
Some broad with 2-3 other dudes, bastard children, and raise them as their own, as Andrew tells you not to do, because that makes you a simp, even though that's exactly what he did? I don't think so. So what are your options? Get out. Notice nothing they're telling you is in line with that. They're not telling you to get your passport and leave. Oh, No.
Still a secular argument.
Yeah, sure, you can make that.
Why
yes.
That is worse.
You can make that secular argument, but here's the thing. It's not enough to destroy their worldview if you can't offer them one that's better. And what they hear is hypocrisy, and what they hear is nonsense.
I just hear hypocrisy and nonsense from you, Andrew. Sky Daddy said so it's true. And you do everything. You do many, many things that you preach against. You're not humble. You're not a very good Christian. I mean, humility is not in your nature. This doesn't even have anything to do with, be nice, which isn't a teaching of Christianity, but humility is. This guy is not humble. This guy preaches the red pill and tells men not to, wife up single mothers and be a simp, and he's wifed up single mothers and a simp. So I don't know. I don't know if I should listen to anything this guy has to say, in addition to all the superstitious crapola that he's peddling.
Here is you saying, hey, the best thing that you can do is get married, in spite of the fact that my values say that you're not even really married. That these are insane positions which are put together in order to attack the red pill who's just trying to give descriptive truths. I'm not saying that their prescriptions are great. That's where you get into some of the pickup artist stuff. Most of them don't make prescriptions, though. Rolo calls it a praxeology. It's not, but he calls it a praxeology. These different people have different names for it, but they're just trying to give descriptive claims for how the world actually works. And all I see is you beating the hell out of them and kissing the ass of former prostitutes like Nala and kissing the ass of all of these women and saying, how dare you? How dare you, Pearl Davis? How dare you, Andrew Wilson, say that you think that, oh, I don't know, maybe this chick who had sex with hundreds of men on film has done absolutely nothing to show the fruits or in any way really repent or show any remorse for this. How dare you not kiss their ass? Yeah, that's a losing message. It's a losing message.
Yeah, that Nala brought former OF ho. Then she quit OF. Not because, in my opinion, not because she wanted to be more virtuous. Not because she wanted to be more virtuous or embrace Jesus, but just because she got tired of it, right? Her hoo-ha's all stretched out. She's already made millions. It's very, you know, I don't know about difficult work. I mean, certainly degrading work, but some people seem to not care. But I think she got tired of it and just took up another grift that didn't require her to, you know, take it up the pooper. And so, you know, I think she's just a grifter and a fraud, absolutely. A lot of you simps out there, unfortunately, will give her money and follows and believe her because, you know, you want to.
I'm not saying that anyone needs to kiss Nala's ass. I'm just saying that as Christians, we cannot make a judgment as to whether or not she has been saved, and it is possible.
Sure you can, you dumb broad. What are you talking about? People judge all the time. Shut up. You're an idiot.
Possible that she has been saved.
Yeah, it's possible, I guess. Highly unlikely, though. You dope. I don't think that if she was saved, she'd be running around advertising her virtue, kind of like Andrew Wilson. I think he's a fraud, too, by the way.
That's my position on Nala.
That wasn't just your position. Your position in your video was also to attack people like Pearl Davis, who is the only one was...
All right, mission loaded. To lithium up for grabs.
I hate these adverts.
Time to move.
Was the only one out of you sea of harpies, that's my words, okay, who wasn't kissing this woman's ass. She was the...
I think Pearl Davis is a fraud, too, okay? I don't think she's a genuine actor.
Only one who actually didn't get on her knees and kiss this prostitute's ass because she got dunked at heresy.
I mean, all these people are in it for the money. Andrew Wilson's just a gatekeeper.
Church.com, the only one.
So it sounds like when you say that she just got...
Industry plant, controlled op shill, gatekeeper.
Dunked at heresychurch.com. Do you believe that you don't believe that Nala has been saved? Do you believe it's possible that she has been?
Of course, I would not make a claim to the salvation, but what I would say is I would definitely not be attacking creators like Pearl Davis, who are pointing out that, hey, you Christians should not be running to embrace this. You Christians should not be running to say that, hey, this is necessarily even a good thing that she's doing the testimony roadshow and look how saved it I am. That is the opposition of the Christian ethic. She was the only one in a whole sea of you women who came after her, who stood her ground and said no. That's respectable.
Well, Pearl specifically said that Jesus isn't going to save these whole hoes. I think Jesus can save some of them. I think he will save.
I know more about Christianity than this dumb broad, even though I ain't no Christian. I'll tell you, Jesus don't save you by their own ideology. You save you. Okay, you have to come to Jesus, and then he will extend his arms and enfold you into his embrace. But he doesn't just reach out and touch you in a loving way, of course, and then save you. No, you have to come to him, not the other way around.
some
not
of them.
Save them now, from the consequence of their actions. That's right. What she means by that. Not that they can't find salvation through Jesus Christ, but that Jesus isn't going to save them from the consequences of their actions. They're not. You can't use Christianity.
You mean in a world like, because obviously if Jesus saves them, it is from the consequences of their actions, their sinfulness on a spiritual level. But you
I'm
mean
talking
in,
about
like,
in the
in
world?
Terms of
yes.
Dating.
Yeah. In the
yeah,
world.
Yeah. No. I agree. That.
Yeah, but that would only like be if they were truly remorseful, and the only person that could know that is them, and like a god, if such a thing existed, which I don't believe does. I don't know really, but I don't think so. But who knows? But yeah, only you would know that, and you know, you can make all these protestations and do all these earthly things and commit all these supposed benevolent acts to try and make up for any past wrongdoings. But are you doing it, you know, just to get out of going to hell, or are you genuinely remorseful and doing it because you want to make up for past wrongdoings? I don't think this broad is trying to make up for anything, and I don't think she thinks she did anything wrong. I think she's just saying what she thinks she's got to say to get the dudes in the right-wing space to follow her, just like she did what she had to do in the left-wing space and be a degenerate to get the dudes in that space to follow her. I don't think she's a genuine actor. I think she's a fraud. But then again, so are these two.
That's not something I disagree with. Like, the idea, and I've said this online, I've said this multiple times, Nala, she's not
what she means
owed...
is, I'll frame it the best way I can. Jesus can save these hoes' soul, okay? But men are not going to be able to save these hoes in the world. And women are not going to be able to save these hoes in the world. And
yeah, if I recall, the whole dust-up was that all these, you know, fake Jesus broads like Lauren Chan and all these supposed trad-con broads or anything but came out in defense of Nala, because of defending Nala, they're defending themselves and their own 304 pasts. So the sisterhood loves to stick together. And they were telling people not to judge and to accept her and embrace her and essentially forgive her for her transgressions in this world. No. No, that's not how it works, man. No consequence, no earthly consequences, really? It's interesting. So if you embrace Jesus, you're not only forgiven in the next world, you're forgiven in this world as well. Wow. It's a good deal. I can see why some people like it so much. But that's actually not how it works. That's not even what the doctrine teaches. So, yeah.
And it sure would be nice if some of them actually faced the consequences for their actions, were held to account without a what about the Mendo argument from commentators like you, Lauren.
What do you mean, what about the Mendo?
Because what Mendo? What about the Mendo? Every time that we get into these discussions, yeah. And we even in this discussion / debate that we're having right now, almost every single time we bring up the female promiscuity issue, you bring it right back to men. You call the men the homemakers. You call the men the people who are responsible.
I didn't say
you
that.
Did.
I
you said
the
red pillars are exacerbating the same issue they rage against. The thing is interesting here is when you're talking about hypergamy, that would actually be in opposition to.
I thought that women were strong and independent, and they don't need no man, and, you know, they can objectify themselves, and they can do whatever they want, and they're responsible for their own bodies, and they have bodily autonomy, and they're responsible. Men don't have any power over their body and the choices they make how to use their body. So how is it the men's fault? So you want men to have responsibility when you're to blame for something, or when you're being blamed for something. But when it behooves you, when it's in your best interests, oh, no. Then men have no power, you know. When I stand to gain something, no, men have no power. But when I'm being blamed for something, no, ain't my fault. It's the men. Interesting how that works.
Your point, that's point one. And then point two is that while there are homemakers inside of these red pill spaces, most of them are feminists. And most of the debates I do with these red pillers, I prove.
Most of them are the top tier dudes, because the bottom 80, really it's 90% of men, they can't be homemakers. What are you ladies talking about? By the way, men were never really all that promiscuous, okay? There's always been a top tier of dudes that women have chased and become disillusioned by and have led women to hate all men. That's been true throughout history to a certain extent, but not to such a large degree as it is now. But yeah, Most men throughout history have not been homemakers. They don't have the option.
Proof that they're feminists because they embrace the ethic of destroying patriarchy for the purpose of degeneracy. But
well, power for women. That's not really why it's being done, though. Women are just useful idiots, and feminism is just a deconstructivist tool, a gender Marxist tool. And there is another deeper agenda going on in its utilization that Andrew will never talk about because he's just a controlled op shill, and he's just here to keep you focused on the symptomology, the tool itself, and not the underlying agenda that it's being utilized for.
But it's not a men's problem here. This is a woman's problem.
Spreadsheets killed my sales.
Wait, just try Piper.
More adverts? What?
Keep your home safe by testing for radon today.
Oh, shut up.
AZDHS.
I hate these 6-second ads.
I disagree that I don't think that the problem is also amongst women and the women's promiscuity.
Also amongst women? How is it men? I don't understand. How can you be equal to and also not accountable for your own actions? Men don't get to blame women. When something goes wrong in our lives, we'll be castigated. Are you kidding? Nobody's going to cry any tears for us, even if it is a woman's fault. But women, whew, they can claim victimhood all day when it's 100% their responsibility why their life is messed up.
I've done who knows how many videos at this point talking about promiscuity specifically amongst women, including women who do OnlyFans. I very much believe that this is, I mean, women are the gatekeepers of sex historically. So
that's a red pill talking point.
Yeah, it's a very popular talking point. Yes. That's all she does is parrots popular talking points. She has no thoughts of her own. Look at that tiny head of hers. You think there's a lot of ruffles and ridges in there, or it's very smooth?
Point.
Yeah, that's and it's a correct talking point.
All the descriptors are mostly correct. I still haven't actually heard what you've done is conflated red pill with pickup artists. I haven't actually heard a single criticism of the red pill.
So you seem to, when we talk about even like feminists or red pill, you're like, this is specifically what the, like, I guess what the most basic belief structure that each one of them holds, therefore anything absent that, that's not really feminism, that's not really red pill.
No, I'm not giving you a no true Scotsman fallacy. I can explain. Sorry? That's you're trying to move into a no true Scotsman fallacy, and that's not what I'm saying.
No, that's not what I'm doing. Let me finish.
Guarantee you she doesn't know what a no true Scotsman fallacy is. Of course, Andrew only knows about that because of watching my videos, which he would never admit to. He will never, ever give anybody else credit for any talking points or views or observations that he got from other people.
Okay. So I'm taking the position of this is what the movements exist as. Like the feminist movement, this is what the feminist movement represents. These are what feminists argue for. This is what the red pill movement represents. These are what, and again, like, I specifically will talk about people like Pearl Davis because I will fully acknowledge that I don't follow people like Rollo Tomasi, or I'm sure there's other ones who are part of
them.
It that I don't follow. Like, this is what Red Pill as a movement has brought.
Movement?
What has it brought?
What movement?
Well, I think if we're talking about the Red Pill movement, there's...
It's just observations, you dummy. There's no Red Pill movement... What is she talking about? There is no red pill movement. I wish there was. That would imply that men could actually come together and work cohesively for some kind of, greater good for men, in a sense. Is that even possible? They would have some kind of greater voice to affect policy and law. Doesn't happen, though. What movement? It's like trying to herd a bunch of cats. It's not happening.
Absolutely the idea and that male promiscuity should be excused or is not as bad as female
What the hell are you talking about? Women have been calling men names for years, for decades, centuries. Oh pig this, pig that, even though it's just like 5-10% of dudes. Again, the vast majority of men do not have the option to be promiscuous. I don't know what she's talking about. These are feminist talking points. The truth of the matter is, it's women, as you said, who are the gatekeepers of sex. What are you talking about? These are lies. These are lies. Men have never been pigs. They have never been hoes. They have never been man whores. Never. Except maybe like a small smidgen of men. Microscopic number. Well, not microscopic, but I mean 5%. It's pretty freaking small number that can, at their leisure, have majority of broads they want, or at least a decent amount, that they can just, you know, snap their fingers and they're getting laid. How many dudes have that option? 5%, maybe? Maybe 5, if that? What's she talking about? I know what she's talking about.
And what is your evidence for this?
None.
This is something, well, I'm talking specifically about people like Pearl.
Well, I mean, she is a hoe, and she's moderately attractive, so, you know, she's chased the top, you know, echelon of dudes and conflated that with the vast majority, because that's what women do, because they're natural collectivists.
Pearl Davis, like Myron.
No, Pearl Davis nor Myron say this. Here's what they say. They give a descriptor. This is the problem, right? You don't know what you're talking about on these issues. The descriptor, I'm going to tell you the descriptor.
It's not the same when a man
cheats. It's not, and here's why. The descriptor here is true. Here's the descriptor. The descriptor is that promiscuity in society is not punished by women towards men because of hypergamy.
Well, women like it when dudes have lots of bodies, right? It means that other women want him. It doesn't really, you know, make them disgusted on a base level, because biologically speaking, women go after dudes for resources, okay? They go after dudes who can provide resources and protection and security, and if he's got a lot of these things, well, yeah, other women want him. Yeah, that makes me want him even more. That enhances his status, as it were, his desirability. Meanwhile, man, they want chicks because they got a certain hip to waist to, up here ratio, and they're young, they're thin, they're fertile, they have certain physical markers that tell us that they are ideal for breeding. And if she's sleeping around with a lot of dudes, then we don't know if that kid is going to be hers and it's going to be ours. And she's got this history, and that's all we can go on. And so the reasons that we dislike promiscuity in women exist for an objective biological reason. It's not asymmetrical between men and women. We want different things from each other, so we have a disgust response that is different in regards to the opposite sex and their behavior, that is based upon our biologically keyed imperatives to one another. I don't know. The fact that she is trying to conflate men and women in regards to promiscuity and map onto reality that which does not exist, i.e. some kind of disgust or disdain or equal dislike for men who are promiscuous as men have for women who are promiscuous, just shows that she's a feminist. She's a chameleon feminist. She's not very covert. Andrew calls it covert feminism. There's nothing covert about it, if you ask me.
However, it is punished by men towards women, meaning the value set due to our ontology, which is different, yeah. Right? Women seem to not be as upset by male promiscuity as men get by female promiscuity. This is objective.
Of course, that pisses Lauren Chen off, because she's been very promiscuous throughout her life.
Objectively true. We have...
How dare you acknowledge objective reality that would then punish me for my bad behavior, which isn't bad. At least I don't want you to think it's bad, even though, yeah, men don't like it.
All of the data you could possibly imagine proving that this is true. Women seem to not care so much. Now, this could have something to do with the penetrative act, because if you look at homosexuality, for instance, both sides seem to be they have a disgust reaction to this. It could be due to the penetrative nature. I'm not exactly sure why.
It's unnatural. It doesn't lead to procreation. So we're going to be disgusted by it. So we don't do that and or favor that, because it wouldn't lead to the propagation of the species. You dummy.
Why this exists is a descriptive truth, but it is descriptively true. That is their point. Their point is not whether or not this behavior is good for men. Most red pillars say that promiscuity for men is not a good thing, in fact.
Notice that all of Andrew's talking points are from other people. Better men, better people, mostly men, before him have said them, he's just picked them up and regurgitates them. He does a good job at it, I might add. I'll give him that, but it is just a regurgitated parody.
But that doesn't mean that the descriptive truth that is viewed differently between the sexes isn't true, because it is. It most definitely is.
But then, so here, so you come along and say Pearl actually means XYZ. Let me explain it. This is not what Pearl is saying when she is online, when she is tweeting out. This is a very different thing. And
well, so say you, based on your emotionality.
This is where I think Pearl shoots herself in the foot a lot, because I don't know if she's engagement farming to try to like say things in the most provocative way.
Well, of course she is, but that doesn't mean she's wrong. I mean, I don't hate Pearl. I think she's a grifter and a fraud. And, no better than Lauren Chen here. But she's not wrong in most of what she says.
Possible. But she does not say that men and women, or she does not just say that, cheating is viewed differently from men as it is women, therefore whatever, whatever. She will actually say that it's not a big deal if a man cheats.
No.
Just that
statement. But what happens, and Pearl also clarified this, and I even have the tweets of her clarifying this.
Yeah, by the way, I don't think men should be cheating. I mean, what's the point of getting with somebody to be in a long-term relationship if you're just going to cheat and go around and see other women? It defeats the whole purpose and the value structure of having a relationship to begin with, because having a relationship, building that relationship, creating that value, it's defeated when you step outside of that relationship. So what's the point?
She's clarified it a million times, but what happens is, because you have a character limitation, what people do, and it's a leftist game, they take what is said out of context, they portray that as a position of...
Well, Lauren Chen is a leftist. Let's be honest about that.
Pearl Davis, even though she's clarified it 100 times, that promiscuity for men is not good. However, it is a more understandable in society because they're not punished for it by...
So is it good or is it not good? Okay. Well, this would be where we would have to come into some kind of consequentialist analysis. We gotta look at outcomes, right? No, let's not do that, as Andrew does that. Well, you're not a consequentialist. I'm not a consequentialist, as I argue from a consequentialist viewpoint and argumentative style. Okay. Interesting, Andrew.
Women the same way women are punished for it by men. This operates under incentives.
Then,
that's an incentive. That's showing you an incentive difference.
But I think she's also...
Incentives are based on outcomes. You mean consequences? I do this, I get that, boom, incentive, consequence, you mean. And what a moron Andrew is. God, this guy's so dumb.
I mean, she's leading her audience down the wrong path, because you'll have men like Matt Walsh and Michael Knowles who are...
Matt Walsh and Michael Knowles are scumbag liars, okay? They're not honest with men. They peddle marriage of a governmentally supported government marriage to the state, where the state is administering marriage, even though they themselves are supposedly heavily religious. And they ignore all the negatives and the downsides and all the biases and the legal system and all the incentives and encouragements women have to divorce a man and all of the biases in the system to give them custody and to screw the man over. They ignore all that. I don't listen to anything those two idiots say. Ben Shapiro either. They're all a bunch of frauds.
Who argue for marriage very,
secular,
very strongly.
Yeah, that's right. They argue for secular marriage and have the same contradiction you do, which is why the red pill doesn't take them seriously.
Can I finish?
I don't know that that's why I don't take them seriously. I don't take them seriously because they ignore the problems and they keep pushing and peddling marriage to the state, really, which is just to control men and continue to steal men's resources and to keep men down, to keep them living in shoe boxes, to keep them poor, to keep them getting married so they can then get divorced and have all of their wealth stolen. Yeah.
Yeah,
so
go ahead.
She'll look at someone like Matt Walsh and Michael Knowles and say, like, well, your marriages aren't representative because you are the X percent, so you can't translate your experience universally toward men. It's like,
they're
okay,
rich.
But simultaneously she will just say, it's not as big.
And by the way, they ain't been married all that long. What are they, 10 years, around 10 years? Let's see them in another 10, 15, 20 years. Let's see if they're still married or if their wives got up and skedaddled.
Big of a deal for me.
And took all their wealth because she got bored. Let's revisit them and see where they are. Are they going to still be married, or are they going to be in Steven Crowder's boat? We'll see.
Meant to cheat. If you look at a lot of women in their relationships with their husbands, with their boyfriends, they will absolutely think that is a big deal if they cheat. Now, if you're saying like, oh, well, the top 1%, their wives who might be trophy wives are not going to think it as big of a deal. They're going to turn the other cheek. Well, Pearl is doing the exact same thing that she accused.
Well, no, because there's a difference, because you don't have to be a top 1% or broad in looks to cheat. You could be a big fat hippopotamus and, you can still get laid. You can still cheat. You can still find dudes that'll bang you. The same ain't true with dudes, so I don't know what you're talking about.
Is Matt Walsh and Michael Knowles of doing, trying to apply like the standards for the top 0.1% to the average male in the dating pool or in the marriage.
Well, that's what you do, sweetheart. Oh, yeah, that's what you do with men.
Oh, this is insane. This is insane.
You conflate the top 5% with all men. Say that men are viewed as being, their promiscuity being a good thing and sleeping around a good thing. It's not. It never has been. And men have never been able to do that by and large anyway.
Main framing, because you want to point out hypocrisy where it doesn't exist. Matt Walsh and the TradCons suffer from the exact same contradiction that you do, which is to give a green light to secularists to get married, which is degenerate in and of its own nature.
Says you.
Is a degenerate, non-sacramental act.
Says you. By the way, I don't encourage marriage to the state. I don't encourage marriage through the state. I don't encourage that type of, as he calls it, secular marriage. Why can't you just... Oh, of course, though. Well, can't you just get married with a ceremony? Well, then the state will consider that an actual marriage as well. Again, it's all about co-opting, controlling. It's all about gaining power. Andrew just wants power back in the hands of his sky daddy that's controlled by the people that have the same views, the same outlooks, the same so-called virtues, worldviews, and follow the same dogma as him. He just wants the power instead of the state having the power. I don't trust either of these people, either of these groups, with that kind of power, him or the state.
It is not a Catholic act. It is not an Orthodox act for secularists to engage in this kind of degeneracy in society and then wrap it up in a bow with a state contract. That's insanity. Not only that, but none...
So instead I'll get a church contract. Okay.
None of these guys actually are willing to debate the issues with any of these people. Rollo Tomasi.
Well, you're not willing to debate me or any other right-wingers. I find it interesting because Andrew says that he will not punch right. He won't debate other so-called conservatives or right-wingers until we've won the culture war, until he's won the culture war. Then I'll turn my attention to other people on the right who I disagree with, who maybe disagree with me. That's a bunch of BS, cope, nonsense. The truth of the matter is he's afraid of talking to other people on the right. He's afraid of facing other people like myself who can actually get his goat, who can actually call him out on his contradictions, on some of his illogic, on his BS, on his superstitious nonsense, on his claims, and really on the fact that this guy is just trying to gain power and influence for himself and those that follow his worldview and his ideology and dogma, which in many ways is just as constricting and dangerous as the left woke-tards. He won't do it. He won't do it. That's just an excuse. Just an excuse. And on that note, I'm going to end this portion, part two of my review of Andrew Wilson's debate, if you want to call it that, with Lauren Chen. Well, he's talking to this bimbo moronic airhead. I don't know, I guess because she has a large following and he thinks that'll get him more followers and i.e. more donos. Well, yeah, that's why. Next time I will do part three and finish my review of this so-called debate. Anyway, on that note, I'm out of here, and I wish you all a good and pleasant day. Take care.